On this show, we base ourselves on the liberating and the scientific framework of the new communism brought forward by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. And if you don't know why we need a revolution or how this is possible, then you don't know what you need to know. So we welcome all of you tuning in to find out. And you'll be hearing more from Bob Avakian throughout today's show. The centerpiece of our show today will feature voices from the streets in protests that took place last Saturday, called for by an organization called RefuseFascism.org, and they're raising the demand, the Trump fascist regime must go now. Refuse Fascism is made up of people coming from different perspectives and viewpoints, uniting to act with great urgency in the name of humanity, refusing to accept a fascist America. But before we go there, we want to open with an important anniversary. Next Sunday, May 25th, will mark 5 years since four police heartlessly strangled George Floyd to death as he pled for his life and cried for his mother on a Minnesota street. As people watched it unfold on video, as the images and the direct experience of years and decades and more of similar outrages crossed their minds, it was finally too much. First in their thousands and then in their millions, people came out in what Bob Avakian called the beautiful uprising, defying the violent repression of the police and fascist vigilantes. This message from Bob Avakian came out 1 week into the uprising.
This is Bob Avakian speaking. To all those who have risen up so powerfully and are demonstrating to say no more after the murder of George Floyd and all the other cold-blooded murders by police. To all those who have drawn inspiration from this righteous uprising. To all those who have had the blinders forced from their eyes and have been provoked to think anew about what kind of country it is that we live in. This has raised the biggest questions about what is needed for people everywhere to live fully as human beings. An end to institutionalized racism and murder by police, nothing less. An end to any way people anywhere are used, abused, and brutalized, nothing less. We need a world without white supremacy and male supremacy. A world where no one is regarded as alien. A world without war, where people from all over the globe, with a beautiful flowering of diversity, act together for the common good and are truly caretakers of the earth. This is not just a dream. The possibility for this is being powerfully demonstrated in this uprising of the people, of all different races and genders, from all parts of the world, refusing to remain silent or stay passive while all this oppression and brutality goes on. To make all this real, we need revolution, nothing less. A strategic plan for how to make this revolution, and a sweeping vision and concrete blueprint for a radically different and much better world, where all this can become possible, can be found in the work I have done, including the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America. You can learn more about this revolution and become part of making it a reality by going to revcom.us and joining with the RevComs. We do not need to live in this world where so much of humanity suffers so unnecessarily under this system of capitalism imperialism that cannot exist without exploiting and degrading people, suffocating their humanity, and killing them without mercy. We can do much better. Don't listen to talk about how it can never happen. Look around you. What seemed impossible yesterday is happening right now. Revolution. Why should we settle for anything less?
The protests against the cruel murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and against the centuries-old oppression of Black people are generally estimated to have involved somewhere between 15 and 26 million people across the U.S. in the 3 months following this murder. Demonstrations in solidarity took place in at least 74 countries. There had simply never been anything like this. And the fear of these largely nonviolent protests drove the fascist bully Donald Trump into his bunker. And the question of how to respond to them caused temporary paralysis and serious splits in some of the major ruling institutions of this country. As Sansara Taylor will get into later in this show, those people, those millions who so bravely came into the streets back then, still exist. And the problems that led them into the streets have only gotten worse, with more police murder after murder, and now with a fascist regime that is pushing to make America white again. And not only that, an article on our website, revcom.us, exposes how a recent executive order issued by Trump will almost certainly take the outrage of police murder, brutality, and repression to a whole other level of horror. This executive order is an all-sided plan for a national police state with no holds barred, open white supremacy, violence, and terror. And that is just one element of an entire fascist agenda that must be confronted now. And it must be defeated, with millions massing, this time with clear direction and around a clear demand to drive Trump from power. And the uprisings of 2020, they show the potential power of this now for the struggle for today. Listen to Bob Avakian from a major speech he gave several years ago, Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating.
When millions of people do take to the streets, and especially when they do so, not just for a day or so, expressing their feelings and then going home, with things returning quickly to normal, but when they do this with real determination and in a sustained way, this can change the political atmosphere and alignment in society as a whole, compelling every section of society and every major ruling institution to respond to this. To again cite a powerful example, this was the case with the massive uprising in the summer of 2020.
Now, to close this out, we want to draw again from Bob Avakian, answering a huge question that still lives with people. Did any of this protest, did any of this sacrifice do any good? And in this, he returns to the question of the urgency of today.
What all this shows is not that all the struggle against this oppression didn't accomplish anything. What it powerfully demonstrates is that the whole system has to go. Only through a revolution to put an end to this whole system and bring into being a fundamentally different, emancipating system can this oppression and all oppression be finally and completely ended. But allowing the Trump regime to carry out its horrific program will only make all this much worse and make the necessary revolution much more difficult to carry out. On the other hand, defeating this fascism through massive, nonviolent, but determined and sustained mobilization, uniting all who can be united against this Trump fascist regime, moving to create the conditions where this regime will be removed from power, this can strike a huge blow against oppression overall, and it can also make a big contribution to creating more favorable conditions for the all-the-way liberating revolution that is needed.
So that was from Bob Avakian's social media message, Revolution Number 116. Black people should be among the front ranks in the fight to defeat Trump MAGA fascism. You can download that, you can listen to that and read that on Bob Avakian's social media, at Bob Avakian Official. Listen, spread it, discuss it with others. Now let's move to last week's protests and some of the speeches from these protests. I have to say, having watched these were very inspiring and deep, reflecting a broad range of people from many different viewpoints coming together around the single crucial demand that this fascist regime has to go now. And if we're to have any chance of defeating this fascism, We're going to need a lot more of this. And we want to open this segment with Bob Avakian getting into where we RevComs are coming from as we unite in this struggle side by side with many, many others. Here, Bob Avakian answers a question from Sunsara Taylor in a recent two-part interview available on this channel. Let's watch.
So the RevComs have raised, and you have put out as well in your social media, two very important slogans. One is, in the name of humanities, we refuse to accept a fascist America. And the second is, this whole system is rotten and illegitimate. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the importance of these two slogans, each of them in their own right, and maybe also how they relate to each other.
The refusal to accept fascism is extremely important. That goes along with what we were just talking about, the question you just asked. Why is this a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination? But the first part of that first slogan is also very important. It's the foundation that people need to have to really take this on. That is, in the name of humanity. You know, that's the orientation that people need, not, you know, what's good for America, the most predatory destructive imperialist power in the history of the world. Not what's good for America, but what are the interests of humanity? And we proceed from that. And on that basis, you know, for the people of the whole world, It is a very disastrous development to have this fascism coming to power in this most powerful capitalist imperialist country, which is already wreaking havoc on masses of people around the world as well as in this country anyway. But this is going to take it to a much more aggressive, even more extreme level and expression. So in the name of humanity, that's how we approach this. So that's the first slogan. And out of that, because we understand what the effects of this and the consequences of this is for humanity, that is why we refuse to accept it. Unlike all these bourgeois capitalist politicians who are rushing to make, you know, good with Trump and go kiss the ring and all the rest of it, we have no interest in that. Our interests lie with the masses of humanity. It goes along with what I've said before. You know, the important thing is the whole world. The whole world comes first, not American imperialism and American chauvinism with the ridiculous and outrageous idea that this country, with its terrible history and present reality, is somehow better and more important than every other place in the world, and that the people here are somehow special and more important than all the masses of humanity in the billions around the world. So that's the basis for the first slogan. Now, as for the second slogan, it goes to what I was saying just a little while ago. This fascism arose out of, and it's been fed by, the soil of this whole system and this whole history, the whole history of this country. If you just look at the history, look, you know, a lot of people said, you know, back in, you know, the 80s and so on, they rose up against South African apartheid. Mm-hmm. What was being done to people in this country, particularly though, not only in the South, from the time shortly after the Civil War all the way up through the 1960s, was every bit as horrific, if not more so, than what was happening, the terrible oppression of the masses of African people in South Africa under apartheid. So, you know, how can you look at that and not recognize, once again, that this is the soil out of which this fascism has grown? It is why, once again, you see the Confederate flags being, you know, taken through the Capitol on January 6th at the time of shortly after the last election. You know, it is why these people, you know, some of these people openly say that slavery was better, supposedly even better for black people than the time since. You know, this is what you're dealing with in this country, and it is this system and the way it has developed in this particular country that has given rise to this fascism. And that should tell everybody that there's something fundamentally sick about this whole system, plus the fact that it's a completely outmoded way for people to live and for society to be organized, so that, you know, a small number of billionaires, for example, control more wealth than more than half the world's population. You know, and that's just not some kind of like, oh, you know, we should redistribute the wealth kind of thing. It flows out of the nature of a system that's based on exploiting masses of people all over the world. You know, the women in Bangladesh, the literally the children in Africa, the people in Haiti and other places in the Caribbean and Latin America who are, you know, working under, you know, horrific conditions, producing the wealth that goes into the coffers, if you will, of these billionaires and the heads of the capitalist system in this country. I mean, just think about a simple fact. You hear about all this stuff about immigrants and Trump talking about renaming the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America. Think about a simple fact like this, which tells you a lot of what you need to know. The wages of people producing things that are consumed in this country in Mexico are approximately one-tenth of what people working in this country working on the same things make. And that is why, for example, even people who are not well off in this country can have a certain amount of consumer goods because of the super exploitation of people in these countries all over the world, which enables these consumer goods in this country to be relatively low priced. And this is blood money that we don't want and that no decent person should want. And it's absolutely absurd that this is the way the world is organized and enforced on the masses of people. You know, think about it. There is the technology and the knowledge that has existed for some time now and is constantly being developed so that everyone in the world could have all their basic needs met, and there would still be a lot to enable people to engage in cultural efforts and all kinds of other, you know, things beyond just mere survival. There is absolutely no reason why anyone is suffering from want in this world today with the technology and knowledge that exists. There's only one reason. There's no good reason, but there is a reason. And that reason is that all this is controlled by a small number of capitalist exploiters who don't just exploit within this country or any other particular country, but super exploit people all over the world, especially in places like Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and Latin America. So, you know, this fascism flows out of all of this. It's an extreme, but in a certain sense, a logical expression or extension of all that I've been talking about. And it's completely unnecessary. We could have a whole different way to live. And this is what's being kept from people. And understanding, you know, that there's no reason why we have to keep living this way with such deprivation and destruction, to say nothing about the threat of nuclear war that's becoming greater these days between the U.S. on the one hand and its rivals in Russia and China, all of whom, by the way, are nuclear-armed imperialist powers, and with the whole destruction of the environment, all of which is posing existential threats to humanity as a whole. There's absolutely no reason why we're still living this way. So just to, you know, go back to that, that's why we say this system is completely rotten and illegitimate. Any system that, you know, brings about the things that I'm talking about and perpetuates itself on the backs of masses of people, any such system is completely illegitimate. And yes, there is a positive alternative to all this, much as they don't want people to know it.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to the Michael Slate Show.
I'm Robert Ring, retired attorney, and I grew up in this area. In January, Trump took an oath of office, complete with that American flag on his lapel, showing how American he is, swearing to protect and defend our Constitution and our rule of law. Since then, he has done just the opposite. He focuses on immigration, claiming I was elected to clean things up. He claims he's going to get it done. The problem, the tragedy, the threat to our way of life is not the issue of immigration as much as the lawlessness in which he is trying to carry this out. His blatant disregard for our constitutional system. He blatantly disregards our laws. He pardons criminals from January 6th because he likes those guys. He ignores federal court orders. He fires his staff when their facts don't support his fantasies. All in the name of, I'm going to get it done. This is not conservatism. This is fascism.
We're here to sound the alarm. We the people is the way the Constitution starts because it's supposed to reflect the spirit that the people are in power and the will of the people is represented within the Constitution. Not one man and certainly not this man. And this is why we're here today. There is a question in the naturalization exam which to ask people, what is the rule of law? The answer is that no man is above the law. And that includes you, Mr. President. No man is above the law. We must all fight for the principles of the foundation of this country as the 14th Amendment is under attack. And we cannot wait, and we should not wait, and we shall not wait. Let me tell you why. Nazi Germany came in about within months. When Hitler took office, it fell within months. He got rid of Congress within months. Congress, if you do not impeach him, you will lose your job. Supreme Court, if you do not express and interpret correctly the Constitution and the laws of this country, you will lose your job. And we will have one person we adhere to, and that will be our fascist president. He is not our king. We do not have a king. We are governed and ruled by the people and for the people. Say no to fascism. Come out. We cannot wait.
As the Dred Scott laws and rule has been quoted, I know that already that I would be one of the first if we continue to allow this administration to move forward in their assault on the laws and on the Constitution of the United States. I stand here saying to the Supreme Court that you may continue to support these policies, and if you have any wisdom, you can see or you should be able to see what he does to those when he is through with them, and when he gets what he wants, he's gonna disregard and discard you as well. I stand here also in the for the stance of the birthright law, because this nation here would not be the great nation in which it is without immigrants. As I stand here with the refuse fascism, I stand here because I'm not going to wait for them to come for me. I want us to stop this movement right now before it goes too far.
One of the things that our ancestors left for us was a legacy, anti-fascist, anti-Nazi legacy. They left us with that legacy. It is our birthright. It is something that we should not fail our ancestors to continue this fight against fascism. Yes, it is wrong. I want to cite to my brother, the great Frederick Douglass, who said when he fought against slavery, it was for himself. When he fought against racial discrimination, it was for his people. When he fought for the rights of women, he found some nobility there. Struggling and fighting for and advocating for the rights of others is what is it about? He has defined what it means to be an ally, because no minority movement can succeed without the support of allies. We need to be allies to each other, every single one of us. We can't do this without each other.
In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept,
a fascist America.
The Trump fascist regime
must go now.
Trump must go now.
Terror turns to hunger attack. Where is he?
today for demonstrating the courage we need in this moment, for standing up and speaking out, and for demanding that the Trump fascist regime must go.
My friends, when we go through the ever-growing list of Donald Trump's crimes, we must not lose sight of the common thread that ties them all together. Do not get me wrong. Yes, at Refuse Fascism, we support righteous struggles against each of the different parts of Trump's lethal agenda. We oppose his vicious war on immigrants. Hell no! We abhor his multiple attacks on gay and trans people. Hell no! We abhor his war on women and girls. Hell no! His war on free speech and public assembly. Hell no! His war on lawyers and judges and basic constitutional principles and the rule of law. Hell no! We despise his wars on voting rights, on universities, on a free press, and on intellectual freedom. Say it with me, hell no.
Hell no!
We are revolted by his attacks on science, on environmental sanity, and public health. Hell no.
Hell no!
We loathe his attack on a rules-based world order in a planet stocked with nuclear weapons.
Last month, I spent some time in Germany. Now, while most people try to spend their vacations on the beach sipping cocktails, I went to Germany in part to immerse myself in trying to understand the rise of authoritarianism there in the 30s, an authoritarianism that metastasized into the Nazism that we all learned about in our high school history classes, an authoritarian fascism with a racist and white supremacist bent that brought forth the horrors that were rained down on the world by Hitler and the Third Reich.
Fascism is not just a cuss word to throw around at every reactionary thing you don't like. It has three core components: virulent white supremacism, virulent patriarchy misogyny, and virulent xenophobic nationalism, all wrapped up in an authoritarian agenda of a war on democracy, a war on the rule of law, a war on reason, and a war on truth. As we say on our website, refusefascism.org, fascism foments and relies on xenophobic nationalism, racism, misogyny, and the aggressive reinstitution of oppressive traditional values. Once in power, we say on our website, fascism eliminates traditional democratic rights, dissent is criminalized, the truth is bludgeoned, group after group is demonized and targeted along a trajectory that leads to horrors. And my friends, Trump and his regime check off all these boxes.
During my trip to Germany, one of the places I visited was Dachau. It was my second time there. My first time was when I was 22 years old and fresh out of university. It had an impact then. But this time, in these times, it just landed differently. For those unfamiliar with Dachau, it's about 45 minutes outside of Munich. It was the first camp established for political prisoners by Hitler and the Reich. It went up just weeks after Hitler was appointed chancellor, and once he was in power, and it was set up, it was a place that was utilized to sweep up and detain anyone deemed an enemy of the state. Dachau became the model for all later concentration camps, and it served as a school of violence for the SS. Over its 12 years in operation, 200,000 people were in prison there, and 41,500 were murdered there by the Nazi regime. As you go through the educational tour at Dachau, and if you do any follow-up reading, I highly recommend The Coming of the Third Reich by Andrew Roberts, you start to see the historical rhymes, the horrifying parallels that exist between that time and the time in which we find ourselves. What are these parallels? Authoritarianism, with the path being established for a dictatorship. Suppression of opposition, and this is only the beginning. A cult of personality they self-define as MAGA. Extreme nationalism, rejection of democratic ideals, the desire for a strong leader, a father figure. These were all themes that were evident as part of the education I received at Dachau, and they are all evident right now in our United States of America. In our situation, Dachau is not 45 minutes outside of one of our major cities. It has instead been outsourced to El Salvador, in El Centro de Confinamiento de Terrorismo, the terrorist confinement center, a prison of brutality and gross human rights violations. It is there that the first group of people have been sent out of the United States without due process. It has been through the Trump regime's machinations with these individuals that they are testing fascist tactics, rhetoric, and establishing new and wildly dangerous political and legal norms. Even if one accepts the premise that the Trump administration puts forth that all of the people sent to El Salvador were dangerous, violent criminals who were here illegally, even if individuals who meet that description deserve due process under the law.
Right.
In response to hearing this assertion, you sometimes hear Trump fascists say with anger, why? Why should we waste our tax dollars on people, those people, giving them the benefit of a trial? Just throw them out. If they only could, for a moment, set aside their anger, their fear, their hatred, and ask that question with a spirit of genuine inquisitiveness. Why? Why should we spend our tax dollars on giving all people the benefit of a trial, a due process, and not simply just throw them out? Because upholding the rule of law and giving every person who is in the United States, regardless of their immigration status, protection and due process under the law is what sets us apart from despot nations and authoritarian regimes.
Thanks so much, Jay, and thank you everyone for being here. And now I have the tall order of trying to get people who rightly recognize that we are in the early stages of an authoritarian regime to care about what happens to corporate law firms. Yes. So, I know what I am up against. You may know that there are very bad things happening to corporate law firms, and it is a difficult sell to get you to give a shit, and I respect that.
Me too.
And I understand that that is why corporate law firms are being targeted. Something that we're seeing in this current administration is an attack on institutions that are not prepared for attacks because they are so deeply ingrained in our capitalist system. And so what we see is an attack on some of the most powerful legal institutions in the country, completely unprepared to withstand it, so that when Donald Trump finally comes most aggressively after our public interest attorneys, our public defenders, our immigration rights attorneys, which he has already begun doing, that there is no attorney, there's no legal system left to push back on him.
Hi everyone, my name is Asher, my pronouns are they, them, and I'm the executive director of Trans Upfront. Whether you are 4, you're 44, you're 94, now is the time to hit the streets. It is the time to stand up with our community. Whether you are an ally, whether you're a trans person, whether you're an immigrant, this is not the time to be fractured. We need to be one community. We need to stand up together as one community, because that's what the Trump administration wants. They want us to see this as single issues. This is not a single issue. Trans rights are not a single issue. Immigrant rights are not a single issue. The attacks with Medicaid are not a single issue. And we know, every person here knows someone that is being attacked. Every person here is probably part of a group that's being attacked.
Donald Trump began targeting law firms through executive actions and executive orders, rescinding government contracts and also trying to rescind contracts with third parties that worked with these large corporate law firms. Some firms challenged these actions in court. They have consistently won when they have chosen to do so. But on March 20th, Paul Weiss, a large corporate law firm, entered into a quote-unquote deal with the Trump administration where that firm promised $40 million in free legal services to Trump-approved nonprofits, to Trump-approved causes, Trump-approved actions. And I
is trying so hard to take our community and separate it out. It's trying so hard to fearmonger, to spread misinformation, to rely on all of our community, society, to believe social media, to believe hate speech. But we know better.
Yes.
We know better. We do our research. We know the people we stand next to. We know the people we love.
Yes.
And that is what matters. The Trump administration must go.
Individual actions have power. When I submitted my resignation, and please understand that I recognize very well that this is a product of educational privilege. I'm a Harvard-educated attorney, that it is a product of whiteness, that it is a product of the New York Times caring about SCAD and ARCS. But many of us hold privileges and individual powers that we feel helpless to use in the face of all-out authoritarianism. But when you act differently, because we are in a different situation, it was never moral or justifiable that I chose to work for my SCAD and ARCS paycheck doing work that was propping up corporations. And that's a fair criticism. But I did sometimes have people say, well, what's even different now? You've always been supportive. Things are different now, and do not allow yourself to be gaslit that they are not.
So around the time when Trump got into office, a good friend of mine called me. He was genuinely concerned. He says to me, he says, Shannon, oh my God, your community is under such attack. How are you feeling? And I felt really perplexed because I looked at him and I said to myself, you're right. The trans community is under attack, but unless you are separate from this community, you are also under attack. As I've said before, and I've said it again, trans people may have been the appetizer, but here's what I will tell you. We are all on the menu. Yeah.
So I want to thank Refuse Fascism for inviting me here today.
Thank you.
I will always stand for every one of your rights, whether you are trans or not.
So I want to say that Bob Avakian has emphasized that there is no such thing as one united American people that we keep hearing about. Well, the American people wanted Trump, so we just have to choke on what he's doing. Bullshit. Bob Avakian makes the point, there is no such thing. This country is split right down the middle. In a very real sense, there are two countries within this country. On one side, you have the MAGA base. They are thrilling at everything Trump is doing. I'm talking about the January Sixers, the ones who mock immigrants and trans people, the ones who want to bring back open segregation and white supremacy, the ones who think that women are nothing more than baby-making machines and objects of sexual plunder. That's one country, the ones who say drill, baby, drill, and deny science. But there's another country, tens of millions of us, who are opposed to all of this. This country is a bigger country. There are more of us, and we have our roots going back to those who stood up against slavery. Our roots go back to those who fought in the 1960s for black liberation, for women's liberation, against the unjust wars, the imperialist wars of the United States in Vietnam and elsewhere. We are the country that stood up against the so-called war on terror and the invasion of Iraq and the torture in Guantanamo. We are the people who want and recognize that love is love, no matter your gender or your sex. We are the ones who know that women are full human beings. We are the ones who stand up for black lives. We are the ones who respect science and want to have a future, a planet to give to the future generations. And there are more of us, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. Where is the Trump MAGA fascists have a section of the rulers who are fighting for what they want, who hate the same people they hate, who want the same nightmare they want. We, the decent country, do not have anybody in the halls of power fighting for the future that we want. This is a heavy thing. Yes, there are a few Democrats speaking up. But as a whole, the Democratic Party is not and will not stand up to this fascism the way it needs to be fought. They will not do this because they're more committed to the stability of their system than they are to what it would take to defeat this fascism. And the Democrats are relying on the institutions and the norms of this country, the very institutions and norms that Donald Trump is ignoring and shattering. So that's a losing strategy. And probably most of all, these Democrats won't fight the way they need to fight, the way this fascism needs to be fought, because these Democrats are afraid, not just of the fascists, but they are afraid of all of us. They're actually afraid of the decent country because they know that if we stand up and we start fighting, we're going to start demanding things that get outside the bounds of their system. So this doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do. What it means is we have to rely on ourselves. We have to rely on ourselves. And we have to be the force that goes out and gathers and mobilizes and rallies the decent people in this country to stand up, to see themselves in each other, to not be demoralized and despairing, but to come out and fight together for the future we want. We have the power to defeat a fascist America if we come together and we exercise it.
I've been noticing a through line in a lot of our speakers today. This idea, I think, like kind of pointing out how all this stuff has happened and how it's still happening. This reality that Trump does have a base, a cult following, really. But this cult, these true diehard believers, it's a small group. It is few people. And we know the mechanisms that they use to leverage that small group into real material power. Domino by domino, they knock one thing over and then the next. The next domino after their cult, they go to the people who are, you know, maybe not paying attention to politics, but disaffected by decades of economic decay, and they're able to leverage this story that's deeply rooted, unfortunately, as a strand in American history that we're all aware of, that uses separation and bigotry to try to get people to accept delusional, easy solutions to the complicated problems of reality. So they sell them this idea that it's the other, that it's the immigrant, that it's, you know, whoever they don't like in that moment, and they knock over that next domino who might not have even been true believers, but they follow after the cult domino, and now Trump's got their back. And then the next people who don't, maybe not fully involved in politics, but they just see now there's kind of a mass building, and that domino goes over. And then they see the press gaslight people who are recognizing what's going on, and then boom, next thing you know, the press isn't paying attention, they're not really acknowledging and putting a spotlight where they need to be, next domino. Business out of self-interest or out of just fear and self-preservation, next domino over, one after another. And then unfortunately, it even gets to people of conscience, people who feel in their gut this is wrong, but start to feel like, well, what am I going to do? I'm just a regular person. And then boom, that's another domino down. And then it comes to a group like this, the people who are united by their conscience, even though they're coming from different perspectives, and they refuse to fall over. And that's what this group represents here. And the thing about dominoes is they fall both ways. So what I see here is that domino that's going to push back. And then the next domino is maybe the people walking out here on the street who hear this and they're like, yeah, I think this group is right. I feel it in my gut. I think I'm going to be part of this. I think there is something to be done. Boom, there's another domino and another domino, all the way back to the first domino who can be the cult domino who might not ever be convinced, but the one right before it maybe is like, you know, this isn't what American idealism is about. They're selling me a tainted version of America. And what this group represents, what we're here to show, is what American values can be, what they ought to be. So thanks everybody here for being here today and for pushing those dominoes back and for knocking it all back over.
We don't have time. We face fascism. But we are strong and we are many. And there is some time. We're not at step three yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. You know why? Because people like us are fighting day after day. That's what we need to do. We need to be out in the streets, screaming with our collective voices, the whole demand that the Trump fascist regime must go now. It's happened before. It's happened all over the world. We can do it too. In Korea, when their president tried to establish martial law, they ousted him. In Chile, when their president reigned with fear and terror, they ousted him. In Egypt, when their ruler reigned for 40 years, they f***ing ousted him. We can too! And it's goddamn time! So we will rise.
But hear me now! There are tens of millions of people in this country, decent people, who deeply, deeply oppose fascism and can be mobilized to stop it. Millions in the streets, day after day, night after night, with one voice. Trump must go now! This kind of uprising, combined with deep cracks in the ruling institutions, can actually force Trump out. We have seen the potential for this. People who've been out in the streets April 5th, April 19th, May Day. But now it is time to inject the demand, Trump must go now, into every protest, every campaign, and every act of resistance. To unite a mighty force that stops this regime from carrying out its horrific fascist assault on people here and around the world. This isn't a dream. Movements like this, they've happened before.
We in the RevCom Corps are going to be working with you, with RefuseFascism.org. To make this a summer of Trump must go now. We will be there and working to turn people the f*** out for June 14th, No King's Day. And we have seen on the positive side of things, not only the momentum and direction of fascism, we have seen the potential for the decent people who are opposed to this to find their courage and their strength in collective action and self-sacrificing struggle. We have seen hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of people since April 5th turn out in opposition to Trump's MAGA fascism. But what we have not yet seen and what is needed and what you are part of doing here today is joining the streams of struggle into one hand to demand Trump must go now!
Trump must go now!
Before I end, let me say this. As you heard, I am facing charges. A year in prison and a fine for all kinds of for leading people to chant. No, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Enter the streets day after day. Do not stop. Make this country ungovernable. Yeah. I and three other RevCons are facing charges for doing things like this. And we are building a fight to drop the charges and demand hands off the RevCons, which you can learn about by talking to me. But what I want to emphasize here is that we in the RevCom Corps are dead serious about defeating this fascism. We're not backing down.
No, God bless you.
We are prepared and we are willing to put ourselves out there and put ourselves on the line and make the sacrifices that are needed to win, to actually defeat this fascism. And we are also serious about making an emancipating revolution so that humanity really can live a whole better way. In the RevCom Corps, we are not about ourselves or motivated by anything smaller than the emancipation of humanity. In our declaration, we need and we demand a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system. Amen. We make clear, as long as we are forced to live under this system, we are going to defend the lives and the rights of the people that are supposed to be guaranteed. Yeah. Yeah. But we are also fighting for a different system and a different constitution with rights and freedoms that can't be imagined under this system, including the right and the freedom to play the determining role in society and to fight for a future worth living in, fit for human beings.
Now, again, we need much more of that. Get organized with Refuse Fascism. Go to their website, refusefascism.org. Follow them on social media and make plans now for the mass protests on June 14th, being called by other organizations, but it needs to be massive, massive people in the streets and being marked by this demand. So start organizing now. And like I said, go to refusefascism.org. So now moving briefly to the genocidal hellscape in Gaza. This is a nightmare caused by the U.S. and Israel. And there's an important article on our website, revcom.us, which takes people through Israel's plan for a final solution in Gaza. The final solution was what the Nazis called the mass extermination of millions of Jewish people and others. It was conscious and it was systematic. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, or Netanazi, as he should be called, he promised that now Netanazi made clear that all the way means relocating whoever happens to survive the massive bombardment to other countries that are willing to take them in. And the bombardment throughout Gaza has been staggering, with the number of people murdered rising every day.
Tonight, Israel is expanding its attacks in the Gaza Strip, moving toward what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls full control, saying he wants to essentially take over all of Gaza.
And in a major historic war crime unfolding before our eyes, Israel is forcibly starving over 2 million people in Gaza. Their total blockade of food, water, medicine, and other life necessities is continuing. Massive starvation. Aid organizations have run out of food, and over 500,000 people in Gaza are right now starving. Children, I repeat, children are being starved to death.
We know for a fact that there are babies who are in urgent life-saving need of these supplements. The less aid you get in and the less there is properly distributed in Gaza, the more desperation rises.
Each day, thousands gather at the few charity kitchens that remain. Many go home empty-handed. With aid running low, most people depend on them, but many are shutting down as they've run out of food.
On Tuesday, Tom Fletcher, the UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, said this.
You know, let me describe what is on those trucks. This is baby food, baby nutrition. There are 14,000 babies that will die in the next 48 hours unless we can reach them.
After a huge outcry in the last days, a tiny trickle of aid trucks are promised, but they haven't yet entered the Gaza Strip. And some of them aren't even filled with food or medical supplies. They're filled with death shrouds. The outpouring of outrage demanding an end to the U.S.-Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people needs to grow urgently. As we covered last week, there have been ongoing hunger strikes from students and social media influencers demanding an end to the genocide. And in addition, college graduations across the country have been marked by protests. At Columbia, when the acting president of the university spoke, she was met with deafening boos.
To define the values. Good morning, class of 2025. I know that I know that many of you feel some amount of frustration with me.
And just yesterday, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity was out on campus where alumni were burning their diplomas in protest. At NYU, a student spoke powerfully in protest.
My moral and political commitment guide me to say that the only thing that is appropriate to say in this time and to a group this large is a recognition of the atrocities currently happening in Palestine. The genocide currently occurring is supported politically and militarily by the United States, is paid for by our tax dollars, and has been live streamed to our phones for the past 18 months. And that I do not wish to speak only to my own politics today, but to speak for all people of conscience, and all people who feel the moral injury of this atrocity. And I want to say that I condemn this genocide and complicity in this genocide. Thank you to the class of 2025, and congratulations.
And the school is withholding their diploma. All this shows the well of outrage and upset about what this country is doing in our name. And like I said, the protests against this need to grow urgently. And they need to get linked to the fight to defeat Trump MAGA fascism, which has openly and even more forcefully celebrated this genocide, while they are viciously repressing pro-Palestinian protesters and attempting to criminalize all protest against this genocide.